There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you all along. Another couple hours of live local talk. And you know how to get in touch, right? 343-0106, 343-0106. Put that in the contacts for FM Talk 106.5. Or if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, well, it's already in there. You can call us through the app. You can also send a text through the app, and you can leave us one of those talkback messages that records your voice, emails it to the show, and I can play it back there on the air. Have that in the contacts if you don't have the app. But yeah, go ahead and get the app. 251-343-0106. And a lot to do today as we are getting towards the last few days of session. Also, some questions on what's happening in Washington and what's happening right now in New York. We'll get into that. And we'll start off, though, with our lead batter. Got to be the busiest man when it's session. Busy all the time because he's in the world of print and also the world of TV. If you like to look at TV, you see him on Capital Journal. But during session, even busier than ever, our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. And, of course, you catch him on Capital Journal, and he joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. How many days out here for sign or die?
Well, it's a little up in the air because there are 5 legislative days left, right? That means days that they're actually in the House or Senate chamber, gaveled in, passing bills. So that doesn't count days that are just committee, right? They can meet with committee.
Those don't count.
So
right.
Right. Those don't count unless they gavel in. So 5 more days of that, they're going to spread those out over the next 2 weeks with a possibility of having the very last day of the session basically 2 weeks from now. Sometimes they will put that last day of the session past the 10-day veto period, meaning if the governor vetoed any legislation, they would have one more day to come back into session to overturn it if they wanted to. That used to be a pretty common thing. These days, with the governor and the legislature pretty much on the same page, it's not always necessary. So anyway, long way to say probably 2 weeks with the possibility of maybe one more day.
Okay, yeah, the emergency escape day. So with that with that being said, if we go down the list of things we're watching here, where are we with gambling? Where is this now? What's the latest update, and is there one?
Well, I mean, they are in conference committee, right? But that's been the case really for the last week and a half or more. And so nothing has been reported out of that. That's 3 members from the House and 3 members from the Senate negotiating what's supposed to be a compromise. I think they're going to plan to meet either tomorrow or Wednesday formally to, you know, hash out something. And I do think they'll probably report a bill out. Meaning, okay, here's what we've come up with. Put it before the House, put it before the Senate. I think that's probably going to happen. I don't know if it's going to have enough support to actually pass either the House or the Senate. It just seems like we're so far apart between the two bodies that I would be really, put it this way, I would be surprised if they came up with something that truly could pass the House and truly could pass the Senate. That would be quite a feat.
When they go into that negotiation, the 3 and 3s, do they come tasked with a certain, like, you know, there's some things in the Senate plan that were so very different, right, than the House plan. Are they tasked with carrying the opinions of the majority of the Senate in on that, or can they work some deal that doesn't line up with that, then bring it back out and see if they agree?
Well, it's ultimately up to the people in the room. But if you're wise, of course you bring in the opinions of your your body, right? Because if they report something out that the Senate clearly is not going to support, then they've wasted their time, right?
Right. So if both sides do that, are they going to always be at loggerheads, or is there some room here? Like, they're serious about this one, but maybe they weren't as serious about that one.
And part of it is, and it was interesting, because I talked with some of the senators about that. Like, okay, if you're on this conference committee, are you constantly having to go back to your caucus and ask, like, right, hey, is this okay? Is this okay? I think really it takes a matter of trust. Like, okay, you've been appointed to this conference committee. We trust you to negotiate on our behalf. But that's really tough because the men that are in the room right now, I would say pretty much have a lot of the same viewpoint on gambling and more towards the House version. But, you know, the senators have to be honest with their colleagues to say, yes, I may personally agree with adding sports betting back in or adding back in some of the House's language, but if we do that, y'all understand that it's not going to pass the Senate. And same thing with the House. I'm sure they can say, look, this is fine just to get a bill approved, but if we don't add back sports betting, if we don't add back more revenue, the House isn't going to pass this. So it really makes it a tough assignment, and that's why I say I think they're going to pass something out. I just really doubt whether that's going to get enough votes to pass on the House floor or the Senate floor.
Yeah, and there's some protection there. You can say, well, we did everything we could, right? When you get to a constituent that says, why didn't y'all get that done? We did everything we could. It was that other body that wouldn't work with us.
Well, that's, yeah, there'll definitely be some finger pointing after this one.
All right. As we look at the waning days there, I saw this on the email this morning from Alabama Daily News. The legislature to study changing K-12 funding model. You wrote here, state lawmakers are taking the first step in what could be a first major overhaul of public school funding in nearly 30 years. I thought we just were giving it more funding. What are we overhauling here?
Well, it's the way it's calculated. So right now, just to calculate how much money goes from those that education budget to fund each individual school district, it's based on a 30-year-old model that essentially just is a headcount, right? You've got 1,000 students, you've got 1,500 students, which is per pupil distribution of money. And I think that probably made sense for a long time, but other states have seen value in, well, not every school district is created equal. Not every student is created equal. You know, some have different needs, more needs, fewer needs. You know, some have more funding on the local level, some are more sophisticated. There's good research to back up the idea that the way we calculate funding, can be based on some subjective factors. And so I think everybody's kind of on board with that. I think it'll ultimately mean better funding and more accurate funding down the road. Another problem, and you've probably heard Chris Elliott talk about this, is that a lot of times those allocations, that calculation is based on like 2 or 3 year old data, right? And so for a growing school district, that's a bad deal, right? In Baldwin County, where everything's growing, like to base it on 2021 numbers, man, you're way behind. And so updating that funding formula seems to be something everybody kind of agrees should happen, but the details really matter. And you may have some that if the first year they do it, you're going to have some, growing pains, if you will. And so that's why they're just kind of taking baby steps and doing the study first before they dive head first in.
I know this is the situation in Montgomery. I mean, there'd be very few of us that worry about things like budgets and, school funding and those things going forward. What everybody's going to worry about is the new episode of To Catch a Librarian, right? That's going on. This,
oh, my God.
I don't know maybe where that came from, but, House passes law bringing libraries under state obscenity laws that had a lot of people chattering on Twitter over the last few days saying they're going to be rounding up and arresting librarians right and left. What do you take? This.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that this is going to pass the Senate, so we may just be, much ado about nothing. But, we have obscenity laws in Alabama. We have, you can't just distribute pornography and other obscene things to children. And if you do, you can be charged with a crime. Well, libraries are exempt from that, from those obscenity laws, you know, for a reason, because you can see, I mean, look, I mean, a long time ago, you could, I don't know if it's that way anymore, you could go in the library and check out a Playboy, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were good reasons why the state libraries were exempt from obscenity laws. So this would take away that exemption. So state libraries and public school libraries, not including college libraries, would come under that state obscenity laws. It also updates it, though, because the whole thing about arresting librarians, they put an amendment on the bill on the floor to basically say, yes, you could be charged with a Class C misdemeanor if these obscene materials are found, but they changed it a little bit to say you have an opportunity to remove it. If somebody identifies you've got some smut in the library or something, mm-hmm. And it alerts the librarian to it, alerts whatever the reporting body is, you have a chance to go and then take care of that and put it in a different section or whatever it is, right? And if you failed to remove it, that's when you would face a potential criminal charge. So that's a little different than just being able to run to the library, find some material, and say, citizen's arrest.
Yeah, got you. I got you. Right now, we got you. So it's going to be a, hey, you've been warned. You know, if this passed, like you said, it's chances are it won't.
It's pretty late in the session. And you got to remember, with something controversial like this, with just 5 days left. So it's got to get through committee in the Senate. That's one day. But I wouldn't count on it getting through the first time. And so getting it on the floor, you're basically looking at wasting an entire day on this one legislation, mm-hmm. because Democrats object to it that much. So the Senate majority has to think, is this really worth it? Do we really want to jeopardize everything else we've got just to get this bill through? And I don't sense like the urgency here. And plus, you're talking about potential arrests. You know, maybe this is something we should think through a little more. And so, with it this late in the session, it's kind of probably faces an uphill battle.
Okay, we'll watch it here. Like you said, five more of those days, but they've got committees they can meet. But not long now before it's all over for another year.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I
unless
know it probably sounds like. Well, yeah. And I know we say this every year, but it really has been a daunting session. I think there's just been so many big issues, a lot of them front-loaded at the top of the session. Nobody expected IVF to be an issue. Nobody mm-hmm. expected this union thing to be an issue. So we're all kind of tired. And so I think I speak for everybody, lawmakers, lobbyists, us in the media. And so it's time. Let's pass these budgets and go home.
Okay. But that also will make it a little easier for Capital Journal once session's over. But for now, when can they check out Capital Journal?
Yeah, we're on the air every night. So we're getting ready to have a show tonight, but you're going to want to go check out the weekend episodes. Those are the ones that are more lengthy. And so, yeah, check it out on YouTube.
All right. And if people want to check out this email I'm always referencing, how do they get that?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up right there on the homepage.
All right. And you remember that in college, you were checking out Playboy for the articles, man. There were a lot of great articles in there. Remember that?
Yeah. I don't know.
There
we'll
it
see.
Is. All right, Todd. Be good. Talk to you next week.
All right.
There goes Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:23, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy Blaine Price. He is checking in from Robertsdale, home of Parrish Tractor and Kubota Tractors. You see all that orange, you know you're in the right place. Hey, Blaine.
Hey, what's going on, Sean?
Man, good, good. Had a good weekend and looking forward to another week. And I'm thinking about a lot of people, whether they're cutting grass or rotary mowing pastures, it's tractor time, it's mower time, it's RTV time as well. Tell me about what's going on at Kubota and Parrish Tractor.
Absolutely. Well, we've got plenty of inventory right now, Sean, on all tractors, mowers, side-by-sides, even the construction equipment. A lot of highly sought-after pieces of construction equipment that we have not had, just a really deep inventory in the past few years with, you know, supply chain issues and all that. We have got a lot of excavators and a lot of skid steers in stock as well right now. All of this qualifies for the zero interest financing through Kubota, not just the mowers and tractors, but the construction equipment as well.
Now, how does that – so that right now is ongoing, because I know when we were out there with you, that was going on, but that's been held over, that 0% financing. That's going to make a big deal at today's rates.
Absolutely, and especially on the bigger pieces too, you know, like the excavators and the skid steers, they all qualify for that zero interest financing as well. But, you know, we're right in the middle of mowing season. I'm actually over at one of our stores right now in Mississippi, and the rain's coming down, so I know after this rain comes through, that grass is going to be growing.
Yeah, those folks got big yards to mow or properties to mow. It's like as soon as you end mowing, just go back to the beginning and start again. It's that time of year.
Absolutely.
Tell folks how to find you at Parrish Tractor and get in touch with you, check out this equipment.
We're located right there in Robertsdale on Highway 59, right in the middle of town. Come by, see us. We're open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Saturdays, 8 till noon. Or you can call us at 251-947-4171.
Thanks, Blaine. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes. Blaine Price checking in from Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. When you see all that orange, you know you're in the right place. Stop on in. I get to some of these texts here, and I throw this out. I was going to kind of open the show with this, but I went straight on because it was my nature. Went straight on to the conversation with Todd Stacey. But if you heard the news update there, and they're talking about, and I have several stories up over at Drudge and Fox News, is there talk about a Israel, Hamas, Iran? You know, because if you say Hamas, you're saying Iran too. Truce. Do you? Where are you here? Do we see a Russia-Ukraine truce? You know, this crazy thing I've been talking about for all this time, some way to find some peace. Do we see a Russia-Ukraine truce or an Israel-Hamas-slash-Iran truce first? Let me know over at the text line, 343-0106. Also, as we get ready for, I guess, I saw this story from Lanyap, and I know we got heavy-hitting news items to talk about, but this is just a question. It says, Gadsden man to swim Mobile Bay this year. And it's talking about this guy, John Brown, says he has swum, and this story from Kyle Hamrick, said so far John Brown has swum nearly all of Alabama's major lakes and waterways during his lifetime. Now the 47-year-old Gadsden native plans to add Mobile Bay to the list, starting one leg next weekend and finishing the other later this fall. Brown said on Saturday, May 4th, he'll jump into Mobile Bay's brown-green waves. River's been high. It is coming down. There might be some green up top here. And down at Dolphin Island, yeah, you can get some green. He's going to start there at Dolphin Island and swim 2 miles east into the shipping channel before taking a charter boat back to shore. So he's going to come off the island there, right, and go to where the ship channel is, then back to shore. And then it said, then a few months later, Brown's going to finish the swim starting around Fort Morgan and exiting the water around Gask in Bonsecours Bay in the east. He will spend the interim months building up his stamina in the Coosa River, which I crossed this weekend across Tallapoosa and the Alabama. I went up to it was up at Cheehaw State Park in the Talladega National Forest. Beautiful spot up there. But so he's gonna. Only thing I'm worried about is if we have some kind of water quality issue when he gets in it. This time of year, you get a big rain. It could be, but maybe now. So swimming. Has anybody swum the mouth of the bay? It seems like that should have happened by now. Somebody went from like. You know, from Fort Gaines to Fort Morgan. Is there any record of that? But this guy said he's going to do it. He's going to start it off on the 4th. Speaking of the swimming stuff, you see this for the Olympics? The Paris Olympics. Let's see if there's an update here. Paris Olympics was saying that they don't know what they're going to do for the swimming events because they were going to, yeah, here it is. They were going to be swimming in the Seine, right? The River Seine. The you know, you got the Rive Gauche, right? You've got the right and left bank of the Seine, kind of emblematic in Paris. They were saying because the water quality was so bad in the Seine that they wouldn't put the athletes in there. They said the stuff that's in the river, the stuff that's in the river made it to where it was not possible. So as of February, they said, according to Paris city officials, they failed the test for team triathlon events and paratriathlon swimming because of stuff in the Seine River. So there you go. I think that just makes an extra challenge, right? If you can complete the swimming event, fight off the E. coli or other infections, and then get the medal. I think you've done something grand. All right, coming back, grab some bunch of texts come in here and your phone calls at 343-0106. Also, at a little after 1 o'clock, we're talking to District 105 Representative Chip Brown as we're talking about the end of session in Montgomery. We'll check in with him on some bills that he's been voting on, some bills that he's carried as well. Speaking of what's going on in Alabama, too, you know, they moved that the law last week into effect here for having to have ID for porn in the state. Like, if you're online, you see this one? We'll talk about that as well. So, straight ahead.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And once again, it was all Friday. Big thank you to April Marie Fogel who filled in. We haven't gotten y'all's reports yet, but I bet you did a good job. And but yeah, we're back with it right now on this Monday, 343-0106. And from the text line, let's see here. Oh, this unnamed texter said, if he's talking about this guy out of Gadsden, if he wants to count crossing the Mobile Bay swimming in two parts as a record, the clock should start when he jumps in, and when he comes out on either side, be an easy record to beat. It's I don't want to get ahead of myself and think it's too easy. I mean, and it also, I hope they schedule it for like a nip tide. I don't know what, I've not looked what the tides are doing on the 4th. Some kind of nip tide or right at the, you know, right during the tide change or something like that for doing that swim. But it's interesting. I guess I was surprised when I saw the story. I thought that would have been done before, but I guess not. Aiden in Citronelle. What's up, Citronelle? Said, Sean, do you think they'll reallocate gas tax money like the education money? No. No, I don't. I think they've got that pipeline is already there. I don't think they'll touch that. If anything, they'll always just move to get more money in that pipeline. Aiden goes on to say he needs to swim it at one time. I would think so too, but I don't know. You know, I think that can be done. I mean, if you hit it at a nip tide, right? Now, if you got a big tide pulling, you're hosed. But if you got it right there at the change or on a nip, maybe. And unnamed texter said, breaking news, Paris has renamed the river the Wee Wee River, said the Sen. Yeah, I mean, what a thing to have for, what was it, Sochi or whatever, where when the Russians had the Olympics and they had all kind of water issues and quality, like for drinking and stuff, those things. Paris, it's, well, we can't let them do the aquatic events in the Summer Olympics in the Sen because, but maybe they'll get that. Maybe there'll be a reason to clean it up. Maybe the same way that San Francisco, you know, Governor Newsom and the people at the municipal level in San Francisco cleaned it up to get Xi in, you know, Chinese Emperor Extraordinaire Xi. So we cleaned up San Francisco for him to come to town. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe, you know, it's like people coming over to visit, right? Get things cleaned up, things fixed, because kinfolk are coming in town. So maybe it'll make Paris clean up some. We can see. Let's see the okay. Somebody's asking about the barbershop shootout. I mean, from the headline there and what you heard on WKRG, the story is Pritchard Mayor Jimmy Gardner confirmed a third homicide yesterday, also on Main Street. Said Pritchard police and deputies from Mobile County Sheriff's Office are investigating two homicides in Pritchard. I guess it would be three now. Saturday night, one man was killed in a homicide 200 block of Telegraph Road. And then late Sunday, a person was killed in the 1,000 block of West Main Street. Police haven't released the names yet. That's what I have. You know, we'll get more update from, I'm sure, the newscast to run throughout the afternoon. The porn thing, you saw this. What do you think here? Alabama's not the only state to do this. It's, I think, one of 9 or 10. Alabama legislature took action here. Governor Ivey signed the bill into law. It's now Alabama law for distributors of sexual material to display warnings about the dangers of pornography. I guess things like the things on the cigarette pack or something to users that are 18 years of age or older before accessing explicit content. Law provides penalties for a violation. I think with the the deal is, the way I understand this, yeah, Texas, okay, here it is. Texas, Arkansas, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Utah, and Virginia have passed age verification legislation since 2022. So people have to, I don't know, like show their ID to the computer or something like that before they use it. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but that gets, I think that gets implemented. Is it this year or, I mean, it's not like today, but it gets, let's see. They put it, yeah, it's, I think it's sometime this year it gets put in. We'll look at that. And it didn't put that in the story. And then I got a text, what about the dog shooting governor? So the Christine Ohm thing. So I think this is you know, one of these tennis balls we all chase. I probably shouldn't say tennis ball, talking about dogs here. But this is a story that pops up, and it, you know, it's to get everybody. So somewhat of a tack piece on Christine Ohm. Maybe she ends up being a VP candidate for Trump. Something, I don't know. But this, I see this as one of those stories where mainstream media and people who have not spent time in anything but a concrete setting in their life just miss it. It says South Dakota Governor Christine Ohm defends shooting family dog that was untrainable. This from USA Today, so you know it's completely unbalanced. Christine Ohm, a contender to become Republican Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate, defended herself on Friday against Democratic attacks over her account of shooting a dog on her family farm. And I know that Dan and Dalton talked about this a good bit this morning and said, why would you have this in your book? And Jeff said something similar. I think that it'd be an unforced error. But it says, Noam, the governor of South Dakota, describes killing the untrainable dog called Cricket, which she hated, in an upcoming memoir, excerpts of which were first published by The Guardian on Friday. She also said she shot to death a goat. Listen to that sentence. We'll get back to the dog. She also said she shot to death a goat. Or shot a goat to death. Shot to death a goat. Well, first of all, if you're going to USA Today, who is this writing this? It's at USA Today's Tim Reed. Tim. All right, Tim. So it would be better if you are going to shoot the goat to kill the goat. People aren't trying to fire a disabling shot at the goat. They're putting it down for some reason. Is it pleasant? No, it's not pleasant. Not pleasant at all. You know, if you have to do that, I've had to do that with my grandfather with sheep. So I have nothing. She's not doing it because it's fun. Believe me, what they don't understand at USA Today or Tim Reed or the rest of them, if they had to kill that goat, there had to be a reason better than the value of that goat, right? There had to be. On the dog thing, Noam said the dog ruined a hunt and later attacked chickens owned by a local family and behaved like a trained assassin and was dangerous to anyone she came into contact with. I realized I had to put her down, Noam writes. The Democratic National Committee seized on the excerpts, calling them horrifying and disturbing, and tried to make a 2024 election argument about the shooting of the animals. This is a DNC statement. The way Tim Reed writes this in USA Today, it's a DNC statement giving voice to the dogs. Whoa. It said, if you want elected officials who don't brag about brutally killing their pets as part of their self-promotional book tour, then listen to our owners and vote Democrat. See, that's a dog saying that. Responding on X, or like a lot of us still call it Twitter, Noam said, we love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm. Sadly, we had to put down 3 horses a few weeks ago that had been in our family for 25 years. End quote. And yes, Colleen O'Brien, senior director at PETA, decried Noam's decision to kill the dog. Of course, they're probably busy with trying to keep people from throwing mullet at mullet toss, but they did chime in for that as well. The dog thing, and yes, it's easy. You can do the old, you know, former President Obama talk about eating dog. But, you know, here, the defense of that, I saw that over the weekend too, the defense of it, they said, well, listen, it was cultural. So President Obama was in a place in Southeast Asia where it's cultural to eat dogs, so it's a different thing. Okay. Then you're telling me it's not cultural in a farm world for a dog that's destroying livestock, and in this case somebody else's livestock, that won't stop doing it, to put the dog down? I mean, if we're going to talk about what's cultural, I know they're way more tuned in Washington, California, to what's cultural elsewhere in the world versus what happens in the middle of the country. But they're saying this, it's okay, which I don't think is a horrible thing, that former President Obama ate dog when he's younger. I mean, that's what the people were eating when in Rome. not my thing, but to then turn around and say, but they can't understand it here because they don't understand the culture of this country. They look more the culture of elsewhere, right? And that's okay. So she had a dog. She said she hated the dog. And the dog was not only killing other people's chickens, which is a big deal if you're, you know, if your livestock, your animals go and hurt other livestock. I mean, there's a monetary value to that. And then also said the dog was dangerous to anyone she came in contact with. So instead of having, I think it was a wire hair pointer, but instead of having that dog hurt people as well, bite people, and then say, oh, I don't know, I can't believe it happened, she took care of it herself. If this is the best the DNC can come up with in their oppo research to come after Kristi Noem, have at it. That she put a goat down, shot a goat. Right. Do we hear that the goat was lame? The goat was sick. There was something else. No, that's just how farmers make money. They just randomly go out and shoot their livestock. Just go out and shoot them. Way to go, USA Today. All right. To the text line here. Let's get a few of these in before the news. Let's see. Michael says the guy swimming in the bay needs to practice breathing through his nose and not mess with the brown trout near Fairhope. Okay, very cool. So Palmer says, my mother's cousin, Gaywood Stedham, was one of the first people recorded that swam in the bay. He was born in 1913. In 1933, he entered the bay just north of Brookley Field and swam to Point Clear. Boom. Palmer, thank you for that. There you go. It seems doable. I'm not saying like I could just go do it. It just seems like it's a fairly doable thing. Let's see here. David says Louisiana has a system like that. I guess that the bill we talked about for Alabama with the porn, Alabama will probably piggyback on that for ID verification. So will the kids be getting fake IDs to go look at porn? I mean, the fake ID game that I've witnessed over the last 10, 15 years out there is a lot higher tech version of the stunts that may or may not have been pulled by kids back in the 1980s, buying poster board. We'll leave it at that, buying poster board and Polaroid cameras. Let's see here. Oh, Fire Dog said, my wife has often said I was untrainable. Well, there you go, Fire Dog. If the next thing you do, if you're untrainable, and then you go attack people right around the neighborhood and kill their livestock, then you're going to be, well, be careful. Just be careful. Look what Kristi Noem did. Joel in Somerdale said, I had to shoot a hen yesterday. One of my roosters broke her leg, and it does happen occasionally. Right. So, Joel, did you just randomly, bloodthirstily, just go out and say, man, I'm going to go shoot one of my hens, my producing hens? No. Oh, my gosh. And CB Carl says, in most states, you are allowed to shoot any dog harassing your poultry or livestock. If that dog was after my hens, it wouldn't have made it home. Well, there you go. So, y'all just lump in with Kristi Noem and go on from there. It seems like that's the best they can do. If I'm the Trump camp, I'm looking at who we might need to bring in as a VP nominee. If their attack, now, and is this an unforced error? It is. Kristi Noem should have thought, well, if she's trying to make a point with this, that point is only going to be made with certain people in America, right? And lost on a lot of people like, what's his name? Tim Reed from USA Today. It's going to be lost on those people. So maybe it's just not, don't give them an unforced error. Don't do it. But if that's what the attack machine rolls out for Kristi Noem to try to diminish her before she might be named VP nominee, I would say, if I'm in the Trump camp, I'd say, well, it looks like that one's going to move on up the list. If that's the best thing they're going to roll out, then that's let's move her to the final round of this. All right, coming back, more calls and text. We'll do that. Plus, we've got Chip Brown joining us as well. All straight ahead on Midday Mobile.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Reflector, 1251 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Monday. Y'all say hello to Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. She's going to help us out here. Hey, Anna, Mother's Day not far off now. Got some gift ideas for us, some problem solvers? What do you got?
Oh, absolutely. There's always jewelry. There's plenty of fine silver and gold jewelry, even platinum, to browse through. We also have Opinel knives, you know, gardening sets, kitchen sets, or just if you want individual pieces. Or, you know, if she likes to go outdoors and stuff, we've got those. And also just fine silver bullion. If you wanted to have something engraved on the back, we could do that. Another thing, if you wanted to go super fancy, I do have an ancient Roman gold coin in 18-karat yellow gold.
Yes. Okay. And this is amazing. First one of those I ever got from y'all. I was like, I can't believe you can get Roman coins. We sure can.
Yeah. We've had shipwreck coins. We have, you know, ancient Roman coins that come through. And, you know, they're not super, I wouldn't say that they're affordable, but they're definitely within price range that if you wanted to drop a few grand, you could do it, you know.
Okay. Sure. Well, tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street, just a block from Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
All right, Anna, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, Anna checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Before we get back into the fracas here, I do want to say you heard the news update there from Devin Walsh over at News 5 at WKRG about the passing of Major General Cooper. And hopefully this week, I'm going to get somebody on who can flesh this out more than just what I've known over the years about General Cooper. But you heard of his passing now. But, yeah, he was a Mobile guy. Wasn't born here in the true Mobile fashion. He moved, but he was young when he moved here. Went to Most Pure Heart of Mary and graduated in 1954. Now, this is and let me go here to a update on this. I am reading this biography. Said he was educated at the University of Notre Dame, receiving a B.S. degree in finance in 58. June 1958 commencement program lists him as Gary Mouton Cooper. Mouton was his mother's maiden name. After participating in the Naval ROTC during college, he joined the United States Marine Corps. During the Vietnam War, he became the first African-American to ever command Marine Corps Infantry Company. He left the Marine Corps in 1970. During his time in Marine Corps, he was also awarded the Navy's Distinguished Service Medal, the Legion of Merit, the Bronze Star Medal, two Purple Hearts, and three Republic of Vietnam Gallantry Crosses. Let's go back there. Think about those medals. Navy Distinguished Service Medal, Legion of Merit, Bronze Star, two Purple Hearts, and three Republic of Vietnam Gallantry Crosses. 1970, Cooper left the Marine Corps, though he continued to serve as a major in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. From 1970, he was director of insurance company funeral home owned by his family here in Mobile. He was elected to the Alabama legislature in 1973, and then in 78, the governor named Cooper to his cabinet, with Cooper becoming the commissioner of Alabama State Department of Human Resources. Cooper then attended a program for senior executives in government at Harvard University in 1979, joined David Volkert and Associates back in 79, and he was vice president for marketing in 1981. 1988, Cooper returned to active duty in the Marine Corps, y'all. This is 88 now, being promoted to Major General, becoming Director of Personnel at Headquarters Marine Corps. Retired from the Marine Corps in 1989 when President H.W. Bush, nominated Cooper to be Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, and after Senate confirmation, held that office till 1992. In this capacity, he played a role in planning the Gulf War. Cooper then returned to David Volkert and Associates in 92. 94, then President Bill Clinton named Cooper a United States Ambassador to Jamaica, and Cooper presented his credentials to the Governor General of Jamaica, Sir Howard Cook, in 1994, left his post as ambassador in 97. Returned home to Mobile, later became CEO of Commonwealth National Bank. You've seen that before. And served on the board of directors of Gencor, U.S. Steel, Protective Life, and PNC Financial Services. So quite the record here of a long, long career and the medals in service to our country with sad news with the passing of Major General Cooper. So hopefully later this week we'll talk more about him and his history. All right. Jason, great question. Jason said, Sean, where can I find a detailed story about the Goat Island man? Ah, the Hermit of Goat Island. You know what? It's been too long, and I had sent a text, it's been two, 3 weeks ago, to my man John Sledge, and I get him back on the show. If John's listening, he probably can give me that the place to send you the story. I know a little bit of it, but I don't know where the detailed story is, but it might be in the fingertips of one John Sledge. So, Jason, good question. We'll find out the old story of the Hermit of Goat Island. David said, Louisiana system pulls from state databases. Fake IDs won't work. Oh, well, darn. Well, just give the kids time, David. They'll figure it out. Damn Yankee said, the Dems think that any of us folks that live in flyover states kill anything with four legs. Not anything. Brandon said, once made and holding a red sleeping bag up as a backdrop and my stepsister's handwritten info for the fake ID. I'm just saying, I have no knowledge of anything, but there was a run on poster board and Polaroid camera film back in the day. So I hear. Sam T says the head Democrat needs to learn from her. How many people did Biden's dog get? Yeah. Major or no, commander. Commander. Yeah. I mean, I love dogs. I'm a dog person. But dogs attacking human beings, then it doesn't get to play the game anymore. The way it works. Unless you train them to attack human beings, if that's their purpose, and then you keep them locked up, a different story. Right. District 105 Representative Chip Brown joins us in just minutes right here on Midday Mobile.